Good to be with you this morning. We won't take a lot of Fred's time. As you know, our gospel meeting is beginning, and we look forward to the entire week. Fred is here with his good family, and we're so thrilled about that. So we look forward to having a real good week, and we hope that we will have good attendance all this week, but we're certainly glad that you're here this morning. Again, we'll have more to say a little bit later in the next hour, but we're going to have a word of prayer. And Fred's going to come before us and teach or preach in the Bible class period. But we're certainly glad to have you. If you're visiting with us, we're certainly glad that you're with us, your honored guest. And have any questions about anything that is said, I'm sure Brother Fred would be willing to give you a Bible answer for your Bible question. But let's go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer, and then we'll turn it over to Fred. Let's pray. Righteous Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day that you have given us. We are thankful for every Lord's Day that we're blessed to enjoy. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we'll focus our minds on you and your word. We're so thankful for all the freedom that we have in this country, that we're able to come together like this and to fellowship with you and each other, to study your word and sing praises unto you, and to do all of these things without any fear of any kind of outside interference. We pray again that our minds will be focused, that we'll take your word and listen carefully to it and then apply it to our lives. We're thankful for the elders of this local flock. We pray that you'll continue to bless them and their good families. And we're thankful for all the work that they do and their oversight and watching over our souls. We pray that you'll be with all the teachers and all the various classes, especially those in the back teaching our young people. Again, we're thankful for them and the hard work that they put in preparation for those classes, and we pray that you'll continue to bless them. Be with us not only during this period, but throughout this day as we worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Blessed good morning to each of you. We're glad that you're here this morning and that you're concerned about things that are spiritual in nature, and I'm so thankful that we have made it here safely. We thank you for your prayers, and most importantly, we thank you for your support. I will have more to say about that in just a few moments, but we really, really want you to know that we thank you from South Carolina, the support that you have supported us over the years, and also when we were working in Jefferson City. We'll have more to say about that at that time. But as Brother Don said, we're here today to study God's Word, and I hope that you have your Bibles open and that you're willing and ready to participate as together we study from God's Word. Now, I'm going to preach, but also I may call upon you to read and ask some questions, so be prepared. We're not going to take a test, so you don't have to worry about that, but we're going to look at God's Word. And at this moment, I have a question that I want you to think about, and I do ask for audience participation. When you think about things that trouble us, what will be one of those things that you believe that all Christians share in common and affects us all the time? What will be something that affects Christians all the time, brother? Health, okay. Worldly influence. I tell you, that is something that definitely affects. Yes, sir. Money, absolutely. Satan. Well, we know absolutely. He actually come. All of those things we just talked about come underneath him. Satan. What's some other things that are close to you and dear to you that you struggle with that you want to get rid of, but you find yourself being affected by it all the time? Entertainment. What else? Pride. Absolutely. Anyone else? The thoughts of your mind. I'll tell you. All these answers are. Good answers, and I agree that all of them affects us as Christians, and I appreciate your honesty. One of the things I believe that stuns our growth is that the fact that we are not honest. If we really want to grow and mature in our faith, we have to be honest about where we stand, don't we? We have to be honest if we're walking according to the truth. If we're not, then we need to be honest enough to make changes. One of the things that I believe that affects so many individuals, including Christians, and it's something that is a problem that we all face, and that is discouragement. How many of you here this morning have faced discouragement? I think I would see more hands than what I'm seeing. Be honest, remember? Yes, I have faced discouragement. You have faced discouragement. It is a problem. And discouragement is a spiritual handicap that affects us all from time to time. And you know what? It can happen without warning. No one wakes up the next day believing that they're going to be discouraged. But all of us have been affected by this. And to be discouraged is to be in a state of discouragement. It is to lose hope, to lose confidence, to view life from a depressing perspective. Now, I know of people who deal with this every day. They get up in the morning and they have no hope. There are many in Akron, Ohio that are discouraged. They feel as if life is worthless. We look to Hollywood. They have all the things that we sometimes desire. But let me tell you a secret. Many individuals are discouraged. Now, there's a few other words that I want to share with you that you might be familiar with that is similar, that describes what we're getting after this morning. When we're thinking about discouragement, maybe you're thinking about demoralization. That is to cause someone to lose hope, courage, or confidence, to weaken the morale of a person or a group. Maybe you're thinking about despair. That's without hope or the belief that the situation will not improve or change. Despondency. It is a state of dejection, hopelessness. Maybe when you're thinking about this subject, discouragement, you might be thinking about disheartenment. That is to have the loss of enthusiasm for life. Maybe dismay, to feel worried, disappointed, or what about dispiritedness, to be deprived of life. Does this describe you? Does this describe us? Does this describe the body of Christ? You know, brethren, as our dear brother said in the back, Satan, that's one of the things that we always have to be mindful of. You see, Satan is always looking for ways to draw God's people back into sin. Listen, and one of the ways that he does this is by using discouragement. He wants us to be discouraged. In fact, the strongest of the strongest, get it please, were discouraged. You know, the Bible tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. But we also read in God's word that David was discouraged. Moses was a strong leader. But we also read where Moses was discouraged. The people discouraged him. In fact, when I read scriptures, I see there in Psalms, as we turn in our Bibles to Psalms 42, Psalms 42 at verse number 11. Psalms 42 and verse number 11, the psalmist writes or asks this question, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me?" Have you ever asked yourself this question? You're living right. You're trying to serve God. And all of a sudden you're discouraged. Let me tell you something. The strongest of the strongest are discouraged. The elders get discouraged sometime. The preacher get discouraged sometime. The deacons get discouraged sometime. Brethren get discouraged sometimes. And sometimes we believe that because a man who stands and preach or teach or leads a flock, that they're strong. And we need good, strong men that believes and their faith rests in God. But I want you to know that there are times that we become discouraged. You become discouraged. We're not as strong sometimes as we ought to be. And I believe this is why the Hebrew writer told the brethren, as the Bible students are turning their Bibles, Hebrews chapter 12, we're turning there now. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 to 14, here the writer says, "Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight path for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Ladies and gentlemen, when running the race of life, there will be times when our spirit will sag. Our knees will become weak. However, with Yahweh's help, we can endure. We can endure. Let us not be deceived. I don't want to be discouraged. I don't want to be. But there are times that I am. And I'm certain you don't want to be discouraged. But there are times in which you're struggling with this. Now, when we think about discouragement, I want you to understand something about discouragement. Number one, discouragement is universal. Almost everybody around the world has been discouraged at one time or another. What happens is sometimes when we become discouraged, we begin to think, Brother Wright, that, you know, we're the only one that is going through this problem. Yes, our problems are unique. But when we think about discouragement, everybody faces discouragement. You're not alone. That's what you need to understand. Everybody faces it. Everyone. Something else we need to understand about discouragement is that it is recurring. You may overcome discouragement one week, but only to face it again. This is something that doesn't always go away. We become strong, we read, we pray, we study God's word, we are ready to go. We have our faith rooted in God. And all of a sudden, discouragement comes knocking at our door. It is something that reoccurs. Discouragement is contagious. You know, we got to watch out for those who want to pull us down because of self-pity. This is a very discouraging thing. You have someone who all they have is complaints. They're never happy. They don't appreciate the blessings that God has provided for them in their life. And so then, all they do is complain and complain and complain. We want to give them an ear, so we're there to help them and to motivate them. But after some time, if you're not careful, that negative person can bring you down and cause you to be in a state of discouragement. And so it is a very contagious thing. We need to also understand that discouragement is unpredictable. You never know when it will strike you or a loved one. Once again, you may be focused on serving God, doing what's right, and all of a sudden some tragic event affects you. It affects some loved one. And then you find yourself discouraged. You don't want to pray anymore. You don't want to read God's word. You don't want to be encouraged by others. It is something that it does happen. But I want you to know that discouragement is temporary. Brethren, good people, it's temporary. You need to understand something about discouragement. It will pass. It will pass if we respond to it correctly. It will pass. But if we ignore God and His word, if we ignore the tools that God has made available to us, we will be consumed by discouragement. Now, let me ask you at this point, what are some factors in your life that discourage you? What are some things that causes discouragement? It's another way to put it. Anyone? Lack of faith among the brotherhood. That is a very discouraging thing to see. That some of us are striving to do the will of the Lord, to stand on the word and teach the gospel in its purest form, while others don't have that faith. Or it may be that they doubt it, that it's powerful enough, and so we find ourselves trying to add to it. Or we try to modify it. Now, that's a discouraging thing. Give me something else. Poor health, yes. Poor health can discourage you. I got sick about 2 years ago, and I tell you what, that was a time when I really was discouraged because never really had a sickness that I had, and that discouraged me because I was unable to do the things that I once did. And it caused me to be mindful of the fact that, Fred, listen, you're not in control. You're borrowing this body that God has given you, and you need to slow down. You need to slow down. You're not invisible. What else?
Lack of
Okay, lack of the word. You throw the word of God. Many of us are here this morning, and I hear your pages turning, and I appreciate that so very much. But do we turn those pages as frequently when we're home? Do we? What else? The news and the media. You must have been looking at my notes this morning. I'm going to talk about that in just a second, but we're going to wait. The news and the media. What else? The wickedness of the world. That is a discouragement. When we look around, we look for our leaders to lead us, right? We want someone to stand for God. But even those who claim to be Christians, they kind of get shy. And they're finding ways to compromise. And they just throw away all the principles that they say they believe in. And we lose hope in that person. What else? Loneliness. I'll tell you what. That's one. That's a factor that causes us to be discouraged. Wow. We are a family, right? Thanksgiving is coming up, right? Many of us love that holiday. And we look forward to being together with our family. But when someone is missing, how does that affect us? When there's an argument that's going on in the family, how does that affect us? More importantly, spiritually speaking, those of us who are part of the family of God, how dare we put things before God in our family, our brethren, our sister, our mother, our father in the faith? How dare we do that? That's discouraging. We hope, as our brother Don prayed this morning, that each of us will be here every night. Not because I showed up. Hopefully you'll be here because I'm here. But not because of that. But because we want to come together as a family. And we love each other. What else? What are some other things that discourage us? Yes, sir. Absolutely. Brother, let me tell you something. I agree with that. I'll tell you a secret. As an individual, I try my best. I'm not perfect. Never claim to be. Never will be. But guess what? I have a perfect standard. And that perfect standard tells me what I need to do and how I need to change my life. And it does affect me when I do something or say something, when someone may look up to me and I don't live out the faith that I ought to live out. That does affect me. So from this side, I understand what you're saying. I cannot only imagine how others on the outside, as our brother just described, how he feels, how you feel about that. So you're right. All of these things are factors that discourage us. One of the things that I believe that causes discouragement is the fact that we try to balance the present while worrying about the future. You're trying to deal with today and trying to hold on to the future. And because of this, we find ourselves in trouble. Listen, someone once said, God gives us strength to bear our present burdens, but he never calculates for us to carry over yesterday's grief and borrow on tomorrow's worry. Let's read it again. God gives us strength to bear our present burdens, but he never calculates for us to carry over yesterday's grief and borrow on tomorrow's worry. You see, we must, with God's help, bear today's burden. We got to learn this. This is something that we have to learn and let tomorrow take care of itself. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, we're turning there now. At Matthew chapter 6 at verse number 34, please. Matthew 6 and verse 34. Jesus said, therefore, get it, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Put yourself there. Put yourself in the text. Fred, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Brother Arnold, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Brother Don Wright, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Brother Taylor, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Put yourself in the text. Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient, he said, for the day is its own trouble. The question is this: when will we learn to call upon Yahweh God, asking him for the needed strength? to relinquish our worries about the future and trust fully upon Him today. Let me be concerned about today. Tomorrow may not come. I may not wake up. But let me be concerned with today, one day at a time. Live one day at a time. And I think of it like this. It's a saying I often say. Live one day at a time, broken down in moments. Things can change, folks. Things can change. Listen, he says, do not be anxious. But why are we anxious? Because we're worrying about what the future may bring. I know many people are worrying about this country and what it will look like after January. I'm concerned about that. But that's not my biggest concern. Our brother prayed for freedom, to stand in this place to preach God's word, to study the Bible, to take the gospel to the community. I'm hoping that we can still do that. But I want to tell you, there's some things that I have seen and enemies at work that I don't know. I question that. But I need not to be concerned about that. We need to trust in God now. You know, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7, Philippians 4, 6 through 7, here the Apostle Paul, when he speaks of prayer and he's encouraging the child of God to focus on him and understand the power of prayer. When Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. I want to get some of that peace of God. Every time I pray, I want to have that peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, when I pray to God, I need to leave it there. It's not just enough to have faith, but have enough faith that God will work it out according to His time, His plan, and as He desires. Pray and leave it there. And then I am to live in faith, not by sight. But see, we allow our sight to distract us. We allow the environment to dictate to us whether things are going to work out or not. You see, we need not to view our prayers like the stock market. It goes up and down. But that's how we feel sometimes. Our prayer can be compared to the stock market. When things are going right in our life, oh, our prayers are being answered. But when we have lost 700 points, well, maybe, I don't know. That's not the type of attitude or spirit we are to have as Christians. Much of our worries will cease when we begin to view life from a heavenly perspective. We must allow Yahweh to order our steps, is the point. So we must get rid of the idea about worrying about the future while trying to balance the present. We are to live one day at a time, and Christians need to understand that. Every day is a new day. To turn to God and thank Him for that day. Now, my question is this. How will I improve my life? How will I be stronger as a Christian today? And I'll wait for tomorrow. Now, don't misunderstand me. Planning for the future is not wrong. There's no sin in that. But most of the time when we plan for the future, God is not at the forefront. That's where the problem comes in. We need to worry about God. Something else, allowing others to discourage you. We talked about this earlier. All right. So trying to balance the presence while worrying about the future, but allowing others to discourage you. You know, we got to stay clear of negative people or negative environments. It's key. And that's why, and this is why it's so important that we be together with our brethren, that we be present and worship with each other. As our sister said earlier, she said, you know, what discourages her is the fact that some of us place other things in front of God. And that can be discouraging. You know, I don't know why Titus wasn't present when Paul came to Troas, but as you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, actually, I know why he was discouraged, but I don't know where what happened, why Titus was not present. But nevertheless, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13, I want you to listen to the Apostle Paul and what he says here concerning our dear brother Titus. Paul said, "When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was open for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest." Why, Paul? "Because I did not find my brother Titus there." Do you feel like that? When you walk through the doors of this building and you look around and you don't see your brother or your sister in Christ that should be here. Is your spirit at rest? Or is there something within you that causes you to think, "Where is he? Where is she? I want to be encouraged by him, her." Or do we just simply find our seats? We sit down. We don't even concern ourselves with our brethren. Paul said when he came to preach the gospel, he said, "My spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there." It bothers me when my family member, one of my family members are missing and they're not present. And so it motivates me to do something about it, to find out why. What happened? What's going on? As we look at 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, verse 13, as Paul received news concerning those in Corinth and taking care of problems there, the Apostle Paul had this to say concerning Titus on this occasion. He said, "And beside our own comfort, we rejoice still more at the joy of Titus because his spirit has been refreshed by you all." Isn't that wonderful? His spirit has been refreshed by you all. And I'm certain that Paul can say the same, that his spirit was refreshed by the things that he heard concerning the brethren and the changes that they were making. My spirit is refreshed every Sunday morning when I come together to serve God's people and God's people serving God. My spirit is refreshed when we all have that thought to be working together in the kingdom of God. This is the environment wherein we can be encouraged. One sister said to me just before leaving, she said she's going through some problems and she has knee problems and back problems. And she said last Wednesday, "I'm hurting, but I had two choices. I can hurt at home or I can hurt in the pews." You got it, sister. Now, I'm not gonna downplay your sickness and your pain. I'm not doing that. But what I'm telling you is just her faith and to be encouraged by her. Two perspectives. Either I can hurt at home or I can muster courage to be there and have my soul uplifted to be refreshed. Isn't that wonderful? That's a blessing. And so this environment that we have is here not for us just to sit in the pews and read through scriptures alone, but to encourage one another and to be uplifted and encouraged. There are many times I've had thoughts in my mind, but when I came together to study God's word, all those worries, I forgot about it. When I sung that hymn, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." When we sing the hymn, when we survey the wonderful cross of Jesus, do you forget about your problems? I do. When we sing to God, or when we hear a brother who prays for someone, giving thanks for those who have healed from some ailment or some strength, or someone who has been baptized because of the study that you were unaware of that was going on for months. Those things encourage us. You know, others will discourage us. Something else, for example, inviting someone to worship or Bible study. What if they fail to show up? what happens? We often become discouraged, don't we? We become discouraged. And typically, we become discouraged and refuse to invite them from that point forward. And that's a sad thing. You know, disinterest spirits that has no desire to serve God, it's not your fault. It's sad on their part. But there are others who are just as hungry and thirsty for the Word of God. And we got to be looking for those individuals. We cannot stop. We cannot stop searching for those who want to know the truth. We must keep on working until we find those who are eager for the truth and spiritual matters. Yes, there'll be times that we will be discouraged in that. How many times have we studied, prepared, answered Bible questions, but only to find that that person in the end is not really all that interested in changing their lives? It happens all the time. It happens so much. But you keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. I had a... Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So I called this morning, and she said, I'm not going to come. I'm just missing that. Why would you be here?
Absolutely.
What you need.
Yes, sir.
So I just thought I'd share that.
Well, I appreciate that. You don't let that discourage you. You keep on doing what you're doing because you're doing what God told you to do. Jesus says, go out there and do what? Go and preach the gospel, right? You're trying to do that. Yes, sir. Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely, brother. You're correct. We have to learn to remove, and I learned that. Remove yourself. Put that person face to face with God. That's what you have to do. You have to remove yourself and put them face to face with God. One of your members, we stole them. We didn't know they were coming to WAX. You know them? Good folks. They're a part of the congregation there in Aiken now at Dibble Road where we are working. And Brother Wax was telling me when I had lunch with him, he was talking about studying with an individual. And it discouraged him every time he would offer scriptural arguments that this individual will often turn away or ignore the scriptures. And that can be discouraging when you're studying with people, but you got to keep on. You got to keep on fighting. The point wasn't to end, that he continued to prove the scriptures and continue to put it before that person. And even though that person did not obey, his mindset was to continue to study with him. That's the type of attitude we got to have. Yes. Yes, sir. That is. It's very difficult when you want your child to ride the bike for the first time. You want them to ride. You tell them what to do. Put your helmet on. This is what you need to put your hand on the handlebars, and you need to pedal fast, and then they get going, and all of a sudden they fall. Please don't ask my little one what I did to her. I was teaching her to ride a bike in the backyard. We got a little creek in the back, and I let her go, and that's all. I was discouraged. She was discouraged. But I want to tell you something. But when the moment she was able to ride without my assistance, oh, man, that was an encouraging thing. The point is, we got to keep on keeping on. There going to be a lot of spiritual training wheels. Keep on keeping on. I got 5 minutes, so we're going to go on news media. Who said that? Someone said the news media is discouraged. Yes, you're looking at my notes. Appreciate that. Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, I don't care what you feel about it. We can talk about it later on. That's how I feel. But nevertheless, it is what it is. Sometimes we got to turn it off. And the Bible tells us what we do. Here's what we got to do, brethren. The Bible says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. That's what we need to be thinking about. Sometimes shut off Fox News, CNN, hopefully MSNBC, but shut it off. Shut off those things and focus on God. That's what we have to do, brethren. So, what's the cure for discouragement this morning? One of the things I found is that first we've got to ask ourselves, why am I discouraged? You might find out that you have no reason to be discouraged, especially when you look at somebody else's situation. What's the cure? Sir? That's right, encouragement. We also need to look up and look within God's word. You want to be be cured of discouragement? Look up to God. Stop looking out at the world. Look up to God and look in his word. Look back. Don't dwell on the hurtful things. Did God brought you through that? Yes, he did. Where are you supposed to be looking at now? Forward. Forward. Eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Our eyes on Jesus. We're looking forward. Look ahead and focus on what he has planned for the future. And here it is. It's right here. But oftentimes we don't. Yes, sir. Absolutely. You got it. Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me end with this thought. One time, the devil was about to go out of business, and he offered all his tools for sale. He attractively displayed the whole bad-looking lot. He placed malice, hatred, envy, jealousy. Each was marked with a price tag. And apart from them laid a harmless-looking wedge-shaped tool, very much worn out, but priced higher than any other of the tools. Someone asked the devil, what was this tool? He said, discouragement. But why is it priced so high? The individual asked. Because discouragement is more useful to me than all others. With discouragement, I can pry open and get inside a person's conscience. When I cannot get near him with any other tools. And once I'm inside his conscience, I can use him in any way that suits me best. And it's so much worn out because I can use it with nearly anybody. Since very few people know that it belongs to me, a person is never weaker than when he or she is fed up, is down in the dumps, i.e. discouraged. He or she couldn't care less about anything, and then anything can happen, and usually does. Put Satan out of business this morning by putting our trust and faith in God. Appreciate you so very much. Thank you for your participation.